Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, August 19th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
Fed officials send mixed signals on September rate hikes.
A new survey finds companies across the country are preparing for layoffs.
And Amazon reportedly scrapping its COVID leave policy.
And we get more earnings today with John Deere set to report.
New York City cracks down on abandoned outdoor dining sheds, plus the UN calls any military action at a Ukrainian nuclear power plant suicide. I'm Mike LaBarre. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees suffered a one-sided loss to the Blue Jays. The Braves beat Jacob deGrom and the Mets.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. stock index futures are lower this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 35 points this morning. Dow futures down 208. And NASDAQ futures down 131. The DAX in Germany is down 0.7%. 10-year Treasury down 11/32, yield 2.92%. The yield on the 2-year, 3.24%. COMEX gold is down 0.3%, down $5.10 at $17.66.10 an ounce. And Bitcoin is down 7% at $21,740. John.
And Karen, markets this morning reacting to mixed signals from the Federal Reserve when it comes to the next move on interest rates. The St. Louis Fed Governor Jim Bullard leaning hawkish, urging a 75 basis point move in September, while Kansas City's Esther George is sounding more cautious. San Francisco's Mary Daly is open to 50 or 75 basis points. And Minneapolis Fed Chief Neil Kashkari says the central bank remains laser focused on combating inflation.
The question right now is, can we bring inflation down without triggering a recession? And my answer to that question is, I don't know.
Neil Kashkari making the comments a day after the release of July's Fed minutes, which showed officials weighing exactly when to slow the pace of rate hikes.
Well, lowering inflation and avoiding a recession is a best-case scenario for the Federal Reserve. With prices already red hot, former Fed Governor Randy Krosner says the central bank will be lucky to meet its inflation target.
It's very difficult to know exactly where you are, because as I said, the data always come in with a lag, and there could be a lot of shocks that come in. So I'm sure they're not going to get it exactly right. I think if they're going to make a mistake, it's going to be on tightening a little bit too much.
And former Fed Governor Randy Krosner made the comments on Bloomberg's Balance of Power. Catch the program weekdays at noon Eastern on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
And let's look at the markets overseas now. Stocks in Asia falling overnight to post a weekly decline. China growth concerns continue to weigh on sentiment. And Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with the latest. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, John and Karen. A jump in Chinese tech shares and energy stocks helped cap deeper losses on the regional benchmark index. Nickel stocks in the region rose after Indonesia, the world's biggest producer of the commodity, told Bloomberg it plans to impose a tax on exports this year. Investors now look ahead to the Jackson Hole Symposium, and closer to home, a likely cut by Chinese lenders to the loan prime rate. Concerns about China's slowing economy sending the MSCI Asia Pacific Index down for the week. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. We're taking a look at oil now. Prices are slumping this morning with NYMEX crude oil down 1.6% on $1.40 at $89.10 a barrel. Oil is on track for a weekly loss with lingering concerns over an economic slowdown. Crude has now given up all gains that followed Russia's invasion of Ukraine.
The most active stock of the pre-market, Bed Bath & Beyond, the shares down 42%. The move comes after activist investor Ryan Cohen exited his entire stake in the company. Cohen pocketed $68 million in profits after holding Bed Bath & Beyond shares for 7 months. It's setting up to be a repeat of other meme stock moments, with the price drop for retail investors who were late to the trade being just as dramatic as its ascent.
Well, taking a look at the labor market now, John, a new survey from PwC is painting a bleak picture. It says layoffs are in the works at half of U.S. companies. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has that story.
Last month, PwC polled more than 700 U.S. executives and board members across a range of industries. Half of respondents said they are reducing headcount or plan to, and 52% have implemented hiring freezes. More than 4 in 10 are rescinding job offers, and a similar amount are reducing or eliminating the sign-on bonuses that have become common to attract talent in a tight job market. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. Turning to the pandemic now, we're seeing more signs that corporate America is turning away from prior policies. Days after the CDC shifted its COVID quarantine guidance, Amazon reportedly scrapping its COVID leave policy. Now, Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with that story. Renita, good morning.
Good morning, John. The 2 weeks of paid leave for COVID-19 cases that Amazon offered employees, now gone. Amazon is returning to standard sick leave policies beginning today, and an internal memo published by Business Insider shows the company is also scrapping contact tracing across much of its network of warehouses. This could affect hundreds of thousands of employees at Amazon. It applies to all U.S. employees, except for those living in California, New York, Colorado, and Philadelphia. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Renita, thank you. Well, earnings season is winding down, but we get one more report of note this morning. Farming machinery maker Deere publishes results shortly. Bloomberg Intelligence says higher production and supply chain easing should support accelerated growth for the company.
And right now, Karen, we're looking at finally, let's talk politics. The legal troubles circling former President Trump. A judge in the Mar-a-Lago FBI search warrant hearing indicating he'll try to unseal at least parts of the search warrant at the heart of the search. Let's get more from Ed Baxter.
The judge has ordered the DOJ back to court next week with suggested redactions. One of the attorneys for media group seeking the release of the document, Deanna Shulman, says she feels good about the hearing.
He understands that the public is going to likely be entitled to some parts of this warrant application and its affidavit.
So the next hearing is next Thursday, and it seems most likely scenario is that something will be released in very heavily redacted form. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Ed. Ahead of the open on Wall Street, S&P futures 36 points lower. It's now 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr now to find out what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much, sir. New York City Mayor Eric Adams says while outdoor dining is here to stay, the city will remove abandoned dining sheds. Adams says that abandoned or dangerous outdoor dining structures must be torn down quickly.
When a dining shed is no longer in use, and if it's abandoned and it's a safety hazard, we have to tear it down. It can't be a safe haven for rats. It can't be a safe haven for illegal behavior. It has to be a place to allow people to enjoy dining.
Mayor Adams, the United Nations is urging Russia to stand down and not proceed with its mission to carry out military action at a nuclear power plant in Ukraine. Secretary General Antonio Guterres suggested any action there would be, in his words, suicide.
Common sense must prevail to avoid any actions that might endanger the physical integrity, safety or security of the nuclear plant. And the facility must not be used as part of any military operation.
UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres repeatedly urged for the plan to be demilitarized. A former top executive of the Trump Organization has pleaded guilty to tax evasion. Alan Weisselberg's guilty plea is part of a larger deal to testify against former President Trump's real estate company. Weisselberg will serve 5 months in jail and pay nearly $2 million in taxes, penalties, and interest. The number of migrants apprehended entering the U.S. could hit a record 2 million this year, and they're released to await processing as Texas Governor Greg Abbott sending busloads of them to Washington, D.C. and New York City. Another busload of migrants is expected soon in the city. Climate change is being considered a factor in the recent return of a brain-eating amoeba, often found in freshwater sources, that's being linked to the death of a child in eastern Nebraska. It is the second such probable death in the Midwest this summer, with another incident suspected in Missouri last month. In Nebraska, Douglas County Health Director Dr. Lindsay Hughes suggested being mindful of your exposure in freshwater sources.
We are urging the public to simply be aware and to take precautions when they are being exposed to any warm freshwater sources out in public, so lakes, streams, ponds.
Dr. Hughes says, though, the illness is rare. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Tech, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Great, Michael. Thank you. It's now 6:10 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashower.
Good morning, John. The Mets and Braves just played 9 games in 15 days. Mets won 4-5 in New York. Braves won 3-4 in Atlanta. They beat Jacob deGrom, scoring 7th inning for a 3-2 victory that gets them back to 3.5 games behind the Mets in the NL East. The Yankee lead, AL East, a healthy 9 games, but at the stadium. The night after that dramatic 10-inning win over Tampa Bay, Toronto got to New Yank starter Frankie Montas with a 5-run second inning that included a 3-run homer by Vladimir Guerrero Jr. The Blue Jays went on to win 9-2. George Springer had 4 hits for the Jays. Montas, in 3 starts with the Yanks, has pitched 14 innings and has allowed 14 runs. The guy he replaced in the Yankee rotation, Jordan Montgomery, now with St. Louis, he's made 3 starts for the Cardinals, and in 17 innings, he's given up 1 run. Speaking of the Cardinals, they beat Colorado 13-0, a pinch-hit grand slam for 42-year-old Albert Pujols, career home run number 690. The big NFL story, resolution on how long Deshaun Watson's suspension will be. The NFL wanted it longer than the 6 games originally ruled by an arbitrator. The two sides settled on 11 games, a record fine of $5 million. Watson apologized but did not admit to committing any sexual misconduct.
I'm moving on with my career and my life, and I'm continuing to stand on my innocence. Just because, you know, settlements and things like that happen doesn't mean that a person is guilty for anything. I feel like a person has the opportunity to stand on his innocence and prove that, and we prove that on the legal side, and we're just going to continue to push forward as an individual and as a person.
Watson's first game with his new team, Cleveland, will be week 13 against his old team, Houston. Golf in Delaware, Keegan Bradley shot 7-under for a 1-shot lead. Cash hour, Bloomberg Sports.
All right, thanks, John. Ahead of the cash open on Wall Street this morning, Dow futures 211 points lower. S&P E-mini futures, they're down 36. The NASDAQ futures down 135 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And just ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, we'll get you set up for the trading day ahead with Jeffrey Yu, Senior Market Strategist at BNY Mellon. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are falling, along with treasuries, after a chorus of Federal Reserve officials reiterated their resolve to continue rate hikes. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 34 points this morning. Dow futures down 204. NASDAQ futures down 127. And the DAX in Germany is down 0.7%. The 10-year treasury down 12 32nds, yield 2.92%. The yield on the 2-year, 3.25%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.75% at $1.58 at $88.92 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.4% or $7.10 at $17.64.10 an ounce. The euro 1.0063 against the dollar, British pound 1.1855, and the yen 136.59, and Bitcoin's down 7.3% at $21,700. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. A federal judge has ordered the Justice Department to put forward proposed redactions as a judge committed to making public at least part of the affidavit supporting the search warrant for former President Donald Trump's estate in Florida. The judge gave prosecutors a week to submit a copy of the affidavit. After being accused by more than 24 women of sexual misconduct, Cleveland Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson will now serve an 11-game suspension and pay a $5 million fine. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets lost. The Red Sox, Orioles, A's, and Giants also lost. The Nationals won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 6:20 on Wall Street, and we are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. There are those in the equity markets who believe a string of weak economic data will encourage the Fed into a dovish pivot. Are they right? Well, let's get you set up for the trading day ahead now with BNY Mellon Senior Market Strategist Jeffrey Yu. Always a pleasure, Jeff. Thanks for being with us. Are investors foolishly dismissing the risk of a more aggressive Federal Reserve?
I think if you had asked me this question a couple of weeks ago, we would have been a bit concerned. But now I think some reality is coming back. The Fed has, to their credit, successfully communicated that the path up ahead is not going to be straightforward. To think that the world is on the fine again, especially with the supply bottlenecks and inflation, that's going to come off. At best, inflation is peaking, which in itself is certainly a favorable development. But in terms of getting back to where the global economy needs to be with inflation, we're a long, long way away from that.
Yeah. Do we have to derail the economies? Is that inevitable to control inflation?
For the U.S., absolutely not. You know, the U.S. is in a very good position. Labor markets are firm. Their consumer confidence is holding. So everything points to reasonably good chance of a soft landing. If I look at where I am right now in the U.K., so the U.K. Rates futures are pricing in higher terminal rates compared to the Federal Reserve. Now, I find that very, very hard to countenance. The next 100 basis points, I think, by the Bank of England will be done as quickly as possible. The markets, after this week's inflation numbers, are pricing in an additional 100 basis points on top of that. I'm not sure, how the British consumer will be able to withstand the hit on that scale already. So I think that's where quite a bit of adjustment is needed. And the BOE has been a bit more open in saying 6 quarters of contraction, that's a proper recession right there. That's going to be needed at the very least to bring down inflation.
Yeah, and what is the future for British pound sterling at this point, given all this?
So it's quite fascinating that we've had an aggressive surge in pricing for the Bank of England, but sterling has not benefited from that at all. So it really is a sign of lack of confidence in the direction of travel for the UK economy. We saw the very, very weak consumer confidence and figures released overnight, and next week the entire country is going to be braced for the announcement of the new energy price cap, which is expected to go towards about £4,800. These are extremely distressing numbers. If you believe that sterling is going to trade based on UK growth expectations rather than inflation expectations and policy expectations, these two are totally detached from each other, then growth is going to be very soft. So sterling in the short term is going to be under a bit of pressure.
Hey, explain to everybody the difference in inflation that the UK is facing as opposed to the inflation that those of us in the United States are facing. Can you control one and not the other through policy?
So for the UK, I would say the energy angle is far more acute. Yes, we are facing labour market issues and just general supply issues in general. But as you can understand, in Europe, much greater dependency on natural gas prices. That's where the pinch point is going to be. I just looked at my own bill, for example, compared like for like this summer, versus last summer. I've actually used a lot less gas, significantly less gas, I might add. The price is actually marginally higher. And gas prices or energy cap prices is going to be much, much higher from even current levels. So I think that's where the pain is going to come from, and general price inflation, food and the like as well. So probably less of the labor component compared to the U.S.
If I could pivot back to the U.S. here, Jay Powell lost credibility with his Jackson Hole speech last year. I think I'm safe in saying that. Can he recapture that credibility a week from today?
I think it's a bit harsh and fair. You can't compare like for like, right? So Jackson Hole last year, was anyone predicting a war about, half a year after that? Probably not, right? So clearly the transitory issue, the spy issues, they've lasted a lot longer relative to expectations. No one was anticipating China to face these COVID concerns. So I'm not trying to justify global central bankers and missing the inflation side of it. They're clearly looking back. They wish things could have been done differently. But now is the time to set the record straight and properly guide markets up ahead. And as I mentioned at the top of the program, the general speech guidance from various Fed members over the last 2 or 3 weeks successfully bringing back Fed expectations giving markets a dose of reality. I think that's been quite successful. So I guess Chairman Powell just needs to do a bit more of the same.
Jeff, always a pleasure. Appreciate it. BNY Mellon Senior's Market Strategist, after you joining us this morning. And ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, we have futures in the red this morning. Dow futures, 204 points lower. That's down 0.6%. S&P E-mini futures, down 33 points right now. Down 0.8%. And the NASDAQ futures, 121 points lower. A 0.9% decline. FTSE in London is up just 4 points right now, relatively unchanged. As we look at sterling, 118.60. That is down 0.6% this morning. And you are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Just ahead, we'll have a check of your top stories. And Bloomberg weather for today from meteorologist Rob Carolyn. Mainly sunny, warm in New York City. The high temperature 90. Tomorrow partly sunny. Chance of a late day shower. The high temperature topping out at 85 to 90 degrees.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. It's time for the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Interactive Brokers charges margin loan rates from 2.83% to 3.83%. Their clients can also earn extra income by lending their fully paid shares of stock. Rates subject to change. Learn more at ibkr.com/compare. Up first, U.S. futures are lower this morning as traders react to mixed signals from the Fed. It's unclear exactly how big the central bank's next move will be on interest rates. St. Louis Fed Governor James Bullard wants a 75 basis point move in September. Kansas City's Esther George is more cautious. San Francisco's Mary Daly is open to 50 or 75 basis points. And Minneapolis Fed Chief Neel Kashkari warns a recession could be on the horizon.
As we continue to raise rates, as we continue to raise costs, so to speak, of borrowing across the economy, it should be tapping the brakes on the U.S. economy, and that makes it more likely that we would end up in a recession.
Neel Kashkari made the comments a day after the release of July's Fed minutes, which showed officials weighing exactly when to slow the pace of rate hikes.
A new PwC survey is painting a bleak picture on the future of the U.S. labor market. The results show layoffs in the works at about half of U.S. companies. Despite a tight labor market, the more than 700 U.S. executives and board members polled said they're reducing headcount or plan to, and over half implemented hiring freezes.
And taking a look at a major market mover this morning, John, shares of Bed Bath & Beyond are down almost 45%. It follows news that activist investor Ryan Cohen exited his entire stake in the company. He pocketed $68 million in profits from the sale.
And to corporate news, days after the CDC shifted its COVID quarantine guidance, Amazon reportedly removing its COVID leave policy. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with more. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, John. 2 weeks of paid leave for COVID-19 cases that Amazon offered employees, now gone. Amazon is returning to standard sick leave policies beginning today. An internal memo published by Business Insider shows the company's also scrapping contact tracing across much of its network of warehouses. This affects all U.S. Amazon employees, except for those living in California, New York, Colorado, and Philadelphia. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Watching shares of Deere, they're down 6.5% in early trading. It narrowed its net income forecast for the full year after reporting earnings this morning. And that's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr to tell us what else is going on in New York and around the world.
Thank you very much, John. New York City Mayor Eric Adams says a new multi-agency enforcement initiative will focus on removing abandoned outdoor dining sheds. Adams says, though, outdoor dining is here to stay.
New Yorkers love dining out, and We need to do it in the right way to make sure that it's safe, clean, and respectable to our neighbors and those who live in the communities where we have these structures.
Mayor Adams made the announcement in front of an unused shed in Midtown before taking a sledgehammer to help bring the structure down. The former chief financial officer of the Trump Organization pleaded guilty to not paying taxes on almost $2 million in compensation in a Manhattan court. Alan Weisselberg could be called to testify against the organization as early as this fall. Weisselberg will spend 5 months at Rikers Prison in exchange for the plea deal. European intelligence officials say Russia is likely using the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant in southern Ukraine to shield its troops and equipment, undermining the safety of the plant's operations. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres repeatedly urged for the plant to be demilitarized.
Any potential damage to Zaporizhzhia is suicide.
Guterres spoke in Lviv. Monkeypox cases continue to climb in the U.S., now topping 14,000. The White House monkeypox response team announced an additional 1.8 million vaccine doses will be available starting early next week. The head of the World Health Organization's monkeypox response, Dr. Rosamund Lewis, said it's not clear why the U.S. has so many cases.
There are other countries in the Americas that are also seeing steep increases in the number of cases. Part of that may be, of course, the spread of the virus. So another component may be, of course, increasing access to testing.
The WHO's Dr. Lewis says the U.S. accounts for about a third of all cases worldwide. Weather permitting, the tri-state area could get a light show in the sky tonight. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says several eruptions from the sun Sunday are headed towards Earth with strong geomagnetic storms. In other words, the northern lights. The storms are said to have the potential to disrupt the electric power grid, GPS, and satellite operations. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. And that brings us to 6:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. And here's John Stashower.
Thanks, John. Mets lost those first two games in Atlanta, then had the 1-2 punch on the mound, and Max Scherzer won his start. But a rare Jacob deGrom loss. The Braves, couple of early runs driven in by Dansby Swanson, Austin Riley, Mark Canna with a game-tying two-run homer, fifth inning. But Atlanta scored in the seventh off deGrom, and the Braves won 3-2.
You know, it really comes down to two pitches. The one to Dansby, just a bad slider over the middle, and then the one to Riley. So, you know, those were two mistakes that I wish I had back, but, you know, they capitalized on it, and, you know, it's frustrating, but it is what it is.
And the Mets lead the Braves now by 3.5 as the Mets start a four-game weekend series in Philadelphia tonight. Then it's the Subway Series in the Bronx. Scherzer and DeGrom will be the Mets starters. The Yankees have not won two games in a row since July. At the stadium, all Blue Jays, a five-run second inning off Frankie Montas, whose first home start with the Yanks did not go well. Blue Jays won 9-2. The lone Yankee bright spot, the first two major league hits for rookie Oswaldo Cabrera. Yanks fall 3.5 games behind Houston for best record in the American League. The Astros won in Chicago 21-5. Week 2 of the NFL preseason, home games for the Giants Sunday against Cincinnati and the Jets Monday night versus Atlanta. Tom Brady was not with Tampa Bay all week. Not known when he's going to return. Bucks coach Todd Bowles said, "We'll see." It's not known why Brady left the team, but Bull said he's not concerned. We do now know Deshaun Watson will start playing for Cleveland week 13 against his old team Houston. Watson's suspension for sexual misconduct was raised from the original six games to a mutually agreed to 11 games. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, thanks, John. It is 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names that are moving in the pre-market this morning. And for that, we're joined by Bloomberg reporter Laura Wright. Laura, let's start off this morning. What do you say? Applied Materials, what's the story?
Well, Applied Materials, fractionally higher ahead of the bell. This company is the largest maker of machinery used to manufacture semiconductors. The company came out with a bullish forecast that their revenue will be around $6.6 billion in the fiscal fourth quarter. That came in ahead of estimates. Now, their key customers include Samsung, TSMC, Intel, And these results are perhaps a sign that headwinds have been overplayed. The CEO came out with a statement that even with a softening economy, many customers are still investing to improve their production technology further down the line. Therefore, demand continues to outstrip supply. Semiconductors are now being used in new types of devices. So the industry is less reliant on personal computers and smartphones.
And maybe fundamentals do matter after all. Most actively traded this morning, Bed Bath & Beyond.
Yeah, this really has become a poster child for meme stocks. We've discussed it in recent weeks. This stock has lost 44% ahead of the bell. This is all because the billionaire Ryan Cohen, we learned this morning in a regulatory filing, he pocketed $68 million in profit from the sale of his Bed Bath & Beyond shares, making a 56% gain. That was from an investment he held for roughly 7 months. And this is a sign that retail traders are perhaps late to the trade. Retail traders have been the ones to pump up the company shares in recent weeks, even with a lack of fundamentals, as you say. But that said, Bed Bath & Beyond executives have come out with a statement saying they are working expeditiously over the next several weeks with external financial advisors and lenders on strengthening the balance sheet, but perhaps it's a little too late.
All right, can we wrap up with the parade of earnings continues this morning with John Deere?
Yes, so this is the largest maker of agricultural machinery. The company cut its full-year net income outlook, warning of ongoing supply chain issues, higher production costs throughout the year. So not good news, and the stock's down around 6% in pre-market trading.
Real quick, what is Marathon Digital? I can do this in about 20 seconds.
Well, this is linked to Bitcoin, which has seen its is plummeted to a three-week low. We've seen some big sell-offs from large positions. And just within the last hour, crypto prices sliding this morning in London. Around $220 million worth of positions have been liquidated, and half of that came from positions in Bitcoin, which is why we're seeing Marathon Digital losing some 10% ahead of the bell.
Laura, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Bloomberg reporter Laura Wright with us this morning. As we look at futures, the Dow futures, 256 points lower. S&P E-mini futures down 40. And the Bloomberg weather for today from meteorologist Rob Carolyn. In the city, mainly sunny, warm, high temperature topping out about 90. Partly cloudy tonight, lows in the mid-70s. Partly sunny, chance of late day showers tomorrow, high 85 to 90.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And futures are falling this morning. We got the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are under pressure right now. Dow futures down 275 points. S&P's dropped 44, while NASDAQ futures are down by 159. The U.S. 10-year-yield at 2.93%. Gold is down 8. Oil is in the red. And Bitcoin is sinking by 7%. Japan was little changed overnight, while European markets are also in the red this morning. And back in the U.S., nothing to report on the economic front. After the bell last night, Applied Materials gave a bullish forecast. And regarding earnings this morning, Deere trimmed its profit forecast. Shares are sinking 8% pre-market, and Foot Locker EPS beat estimates. In other news, Bed Bath & Beyond is plunging 44% pre-market. And wrapping things up, Horace Mann was raised overweight over at Piper. Live from the first of breaking news desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg-type squawk on your terminal, SQUAWK. And just since you mentioned Foot Locker, those shares are up more than 12.5%. Wow, now they're up about 15%. They just took a little jump. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. A federal magistrate judge is giving the Justice Department 1 week to propose redactions to the affidavit which led to the FBI search of President Trump's home in Mar-a-Lago. U.S. Magistrate Judge Bruce Reinhardt said the Justice Department hadn't met its burden for keeping the entire document sealed. The NFL and the Players Association handed down an 11-game suspension to Cleveland Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson. He was accused by more than two dozen women of sexual misconduct. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets lost. The Red Sox, Orioles, A's, and Giants also lost. The Nationals won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Karen.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 6:49 on Wall Street, and we turn to news in science and technology now with the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report, brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT makes industry-ready engineers in more than 20 fields. If it's engineering, it's at NJIT. Learn more at njit.edu. And here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. The Spanish city of Seville is installing public fountains, planting trees, and switching to construction materials that reflect heat to mitigate temperatures that have scorched Europe this year. Seville became the first city in the world to name and categorize heat waves in the same way the U.S. or Asian nations name hurricanes and typhoons. EV maker Rivian eliminated the least expensive trim of its R1T electric pickup truck, effectively raising the price of its entry-level model. Demand for the Explore model was smaller than anticipated, and according to the company, eliminating it will help the EV manufacturer streamline decreased delivery times. And SpaceX's Starship has been chosen as the launch vehicle for a Japanese satellite, one of the first publicly disclosed commercial payloads for Elon Musk's newest rocket. The rocket is designed to be a reusable multi-purpose vehicle for carrying passengers, cargo, and fuel. It's scheduled to be launched in 2024. That's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. John.
Thanks, Karen. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is now 6:51 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. and some of the top stories that we're following this morning include the longtime Trump CFO Weisselberg pleading guilty to tax fraud, and the Trump search affidavit at Mar-a-Lago could be partly unsealed, according to a judge. Let's take a deeper dive into these stories this morning with Bloomberg Washington reporter Jack Fitzpatrick, who joins us now. Jack, add another person in Donald Trump's orbit who's headed to jail, the elderly CFO of the Trump Organization. What next?
It raises a lot of questions about what next. The next thing to look for is that part of this plea deal is Alan Weisselberg testifying against the Trump Organization. That does raise questions about how this would potentially affect former President Donald Trump specifically. He has not been implicated directly in this necessarily. We'll see how this branches out, though, because the CFO testifying against the organization obviously raises the question of who specifically else was responsible for these issues. These are tax issues in which they had essentially an established record of not paying people with money that they had to pay taxes on, but giving cars, housing, and that kind of thing to get around paying their taxes is the allegation and what he pleaded guilty to. So the part of the plea deal that requires him to testify against the organization is a very significant step that raises questions about who else is next and does it go to the former president as an individual?
Does it imply that he's kind of taken the fall, at least initially, for Donald Trump?
Initially, maybe. It was an interesting issue. A couple of our colleagues reported that Weisselberg, as he saw all of the other rising pressure legally around Trump, even in other cases, in the Mar-a-Lago search, in Trump separately pleading the Fifth as someone who had criticized people who pleaded the Fifth, but he pleaded the Fifth. It didn't look like a good situation for Weisselberg, and so he, after it, initially insisting that he would not take a plea deal and would not plead guilty, changed his mind. So there's broadly pressure rising on people around the former president, and Alan Weisselberg is one person, but I again, because he's going to be testifying and it raises so many questions about other people in the organization, if he's taking the fall, it really is just in an initial way. There's another shoe to drop. There are other people who I'm sure are feeling pressure, and this, I think, from the perspective of the investigators and the prosecutors, only continues use this.
I was wondering about the financial pressures that are brought upon Donald Trump and the Trump Organization. But then you think, the more of this that you hear, that could be potentially sink the organization or sink anybody else, the number of donations that come in. That's kind of remarkable. Let's move on, though, to the search at Mar-a-Lago at the former president's residence. What's happening on that front with the affidavit?
So a federal judge has said he is not inclined to keep that affidavit entirely secret and withheld from the public. There are several media organizations trying to get the affidavit and the information that underpins the search warrant that led to that Mar-a-Lago search. So the Justice Department has been told they have until next Thursday to propose redactions and say what they think absolutely has to be kept secret, because otherwise the Justice Department has said that this would risk their ongoing investigations and reveal how they're getting information. If they are very, very aggressive with their proposed redactions, there could be a back and forth, a disagreement with the judge. Ultimately, the judge could make the call and say, here's the amount of information we're going to put out. But this is a strong indication that at least something from that affidavit, not the whole thing, but some information will come out publicly.
What is the former president saying, along with his supporters at this point?
Well, he's been very negative about the search, saying it's unjustified. The affidavit is potentially a little bit of inside baseball, because this is the document that justifies the search warrant itself. I think a lot of his pushback has been on the substance of the issue, but we still have to see exactly what they found. These are documents that they found that were labeled top secret with the highest level of top secret SCI clearance. A lot of the debate and I think Trump's response has been focused on that. And a number of Republican lawmakers, even at this point, don't seem to know what to make of this. So the affidavit, any information from that may shed more light. But Trump's response has been a bit more broadly defending himself on what he felt was declassified.
And it's the news media that's requesting this to be the affidavit to be released, right?
Yes, this is a debate over the public interest. It's news media organizations, including the Associated Press. So the issue here is how much should the public know about the justification for the decision to search Mar-a-Lago?
All right. The news media are, I should say. Get my grammar correct. Bloomberg's Jack Fitzpatrick. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Reminder, you can follow all the latest Bloomberg Radio in Washington. That's Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. And ahead of the trading day, we are seeing futures right now this Friday morning lower. The Dow futures, 276 points lower. That's down to 0.8%. S&P E-mini futures down 44, 1% lower right now. The NASDAQ futures down 157 points. That's a decline of 1.2%. As far as the Wall Street fear gauge, still hovering just above 20, slightly elevated today. And the two-year yield at 3.25. That is up 5 basis points. On the long end, the 10-year right now, 2.93. That also is up 5 basis points, though the inversion continues, a little less pronounced this morning. That's a negative 31 basis points difference between the twos and the 10-year. And IMEX crude is down $1.71 a barrel, $88.79 a barrel, down almost 2% this morning. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Just ahead, Bloomberg Surveillance.